This is the Hoosier Ag Today, Tuesday podcast on the 18th of November, 2025. The latest Indiana farm news and weather, and a look at the Monday markets. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, and Greg Allen on the news, including an Indiana farmer's suggestions to USDA about how they can improve the meat processing industry, and the latest on a possible new government aid program for farmers. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for some rain chances and then clearing tomorrow. And the Monday corn, bean, and wheat markets posted a strong reversal from Friday losses. Chuck Shelby with market analysis coming up on the Hat Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Seed Genetics Direct is proud to announce their new 2026 seed guide is now available for viewing at seedgeneticsdirect.com. They've added three new powerful hybrids to their corn lineup, along with seven new soybean releases, including one that shows natural resistance to white mold. There's lots to be excited about for the 2026 growing season. View the Seed Genetics Direct seed guide online and make your shopping list today. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
Improving the meat industry, and the farmer aid check is in the mail. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. Meatpacking is a concentrated industry, with the four largest companies handling 85% of all U.S. beef processing and 67% of all U.S. pork processing. C.J. Miller reports how an Indiana farmer and independent meat processor has offered his suggestions for USDA to improve the industry.
I think that people that aren't in the industry don't know what they don't know. You know, and USDA is a hard hill to get over.
And that's Greg Gunthorpe, who raises hogs, turkeys, and ducks on his farm in LaGrange County. He also owns his own USDA-inspected processing plant right on his farm. So when he was invited to meet last week with U.S. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins in Washington, he suggested several ways that the U.S. can strengthen and improve the meat processing industry.
The first one is the subsidies, the indirect, direct, and the procurement funds of the federal government are all pointed in an opposite direction if we want local and regional food. Then I always like to talk about antitrust enforcement. This whole sector is dominated by a handful of very, very large players that makes it difficult for the little guys to find a place into that market as a wholesaling, either to retailers or to food service.
He says another issue that needs addressed is inspection reform.
The system tends to be set up largely to deal with the largest of processing plants. And I think we're all well aware that the smallest players in any industry tend to be the ones that have the hardest time dealing with regulations. I think that's an unintended consequence. Then I like to talk about truth and labeling. In general, the little guys fit into this space by selling into the niches, and big guys have invaded most of our niches without making the same changes that the little guys have in production practices.
Gunthorpe said he was encouraged by his meeting with Secretary Rollins, but he strongly encourages other small independent meat and poultry processors to also meet with their lawmakers to enact change for the industry.
You know, that cliche that things are ran by the people that show up is 100% true. And I think especially the smaller, the independent, the ones that aren't part of the big four have to get there to have our voices heard. Because I think that the industry has its lobbying groups and has its people that live in Washington, D.C. So they absolutely need to hear our concerns.
Check out more of our conversation. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Thank you, CJ. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins told Hoosier Ag Today during her recent visit to Indiana that the reported $10 to $15 billion plan to aid farmers impacted by the China trade standoff would have to be worked out once the government reopened due to staffing. Eric Pfeiffer has more.
Well, Greg, the government's open sign is back on. The staff is back now. And?
We are working on it, Eric. And as you know, things have changed over the past several weeks.
That's U.S. Deputy Secretary of Agriculture Stephen Vaden.
The president negotiated a trade agreement with China. He also negotiated trade agreements with multiple Southeast Asian countries, which are bringing millions of more tons of demand.
Vaden says they'll need to take those agreements into account when doing calculations for any aid package put forward.
The entire goal of any program should be to provide a bridge to 2026 and to reflect current market conditions, which thankfully have improved. Soybean prices are at 15-month highs. That's a positive. But we will need to take that new data into account as we measure the amount of aid that we can and should provide as part of our program.
Many farmers worry that even though an agreement has been reached, that China won't fulfill its obligations, pointing back to the Phase 1 deal struck during President Trump's first term. Vaden says he 1,000% understands why farmers would be hesitant for China to keep their word. He points to one big difference this time around.
Beijing stopped keeping its word when the occupant in the White House changed. Joe Biden didn't do anything to enforce the Phase 1 deal, and he also didn't negotiate a single new trade agreement with any country, no matter how small, during his entire tenure. This is the first year of President Trump's second term. He's got three more years to go. The agreement that he has made with the Chinese government covers all three of those years, and he's going to be in the White House to enforce it. If there's one thing I'm certain your listeners know, is that if you make an agreement with President Trump and then you violate that agreement, he doesn't forget it and he doesn't allow you to slide by with it.
I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Find these stories and more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a great day here for your Tuesday. Clouds increased overnight, and we're starting the day off with hit-and-miss light precipitation across the state. And it's going to linger in a lot of areas through the day. Up north, we see relatively light action. Central Indiana may be done by mid to late morning. Southern Indiana is where we see it really hold on into late afternoon and early evening. All in, all done. I think in central and northern Indiana, we're looking at a few hundreds to a few tenths. And down in southern Indiana, we could be looking at a half to three quarters by the time we're done. So it's a nice little batch of moisture, but it's not going to cause any long-term issues. We clear out overnight tonight, and we get to tomorrow morning, and we're partly to mostly sunny again. A little warmer here across the region. No one's complaining about that, and we keep that warmth into Thursday. Monster weather system developing out to our west, coming through the southern and central plains and into the Missouri Valley. That throws clouds into Indiana through Thursday, midday and afternoon. Moisture starts overnight Thursday night, and it's going to be mostly in the central and southern parts of the state. Right now, I'm going to say U.S. 24. Now, we can take that line and kind of move it a little bit in the next couple of days, but really starting to see a southern track to this system. Some moisture U.S. 24 southward through Thursday night, through Friday, and into early Saturday before it's done. I think we have to put in anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch easily. Some outside one-inch totals are possible if thunderstorms come together. Slightly less chance of thunderstorms than we were seeing about 24 hours ago, though. And as we move into the latter part of the weekend, we should clear out everywhere. By late Saturday afternoon, we are partly sunny, and then Sunday the 23rd looks absolutely beautiful. Temperatures still rather warm here. Getting into next week, Monday is sunny and dry. Tuesday, a few clouds around. I won't rule out some spits and sprinkles, but we are watching a monster low trying to come together in the southern plains and then getting some help from moisture out of the Four Corners region as we head toward Thanksgiving Day. So Wednesday the 26th, clouds increase a little bit. We see a few hit and miss scattered showers early on Thanksgiving Day, the 27th. Then the atmosphere reloads. I think Thanksgiving afternoon is probably partly sunny and dry. Friday morning starts with just some clouds, but Friday midday, this is the 28th, through Saturday the 29th, and into Sunday the 30th, monster low comes through. It's got huge cold air pull on the backside of it. So rain to start, may end as snow. Is it a monster snowstorm and blizzard, and oh my gosh, the sky is falling like some of these yahoos continue to talk about on social media? Absolutely not, but I will tell you, the low is there, and it will be quite windy, and it will turn quite chilly as we get ready to finish out the month of November and flip the calendar into December. Does it last long term? I don't think so. I'm looking back in the southwestern United States, already starting to see warm air bubble up with our next upper-level ridge. But make no bones about it, the latter part of that long Thanksgiving holiday weekend might be a little bit dicey. We'll have to watch it and see how things evolve. That's the thing. Plenty of time for this thing to change course, to change size, all sorts of things. So we are watching this low before we get too wild and crazy. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest reminds us that farming is a team sport. From neighbors lending a hand to partners sharing know-how, teamwork is essential and is how Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance operates on its mission of enabling viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water. Indiana's ag and commodity groups, alongside ISDA and conservation leaders, work together to vet practices that improve the environment while protecting farmers' bottom line. Helping Indiana farmers thrive is a win for all.
Attention farmers, Jim and Jody Johnson are retiring and their premium equipment is heading to Purple Wave's December 30th Ag Auction. Don't miss their 2024 John Deere ExactEmerge 1775 NT Planter and 2019 John Deere S760 Combine. This retirement auction features well-maintained machinery that's been part of a successful farming operation with equipment located in Osage, Iowa. Everything sells. Absolute no reserve to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com for details. Purple Wave Auction, straight, simple, sold.
A very strong answer on Monday to the Friday sell-off following USDA. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. Everything up, and up in a big way in the case of beans and wheat. Numbers coming up. We'll begin with thoughts from analyst Chuck Shelby. Subbing for Mr. Zanker, Chuck is at Risk Management Commodities. I chatted with him at the end of the session. Lower after USDA on Friday, but a comeback and then some, Chuck, as we saw 30-cent gains on the nearbys in beans and a very solid close in wheat, corn on the plus side as well, kind of following the other markets. Let's start with the leader, soybean futures, led by an entire complex that was solid Monday.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Much better day to talk to you today, Andy, than last Friday. But I think the beans turned around on ideas that it's more likely to have a deal with China than what was thought maybe in the previous weeks, even though nothing's been signed on paper. The NOPA crush was a record breaker for this month, the previous month. And so those positive things came around. Corn falling along. Had great exports in corn today. Wheat, I think, is also thinking that probably some Chinese purchases down the road in our future.
There were some rumors, apparently, of Chinese purchases. Not sure what they were purchasing or if it's going to be borne out in the end. But certainly things, maybe as far as the attitude towards the market, have changed a bit here, even with the USDA update Friday.
Yeah, when you look back at last week, you know, they made some minimal changes, brought the yield down very small amounts. You know, I think also you have to wonder, you know, they were closed for 40 days with minimal staff coming back and the accumulation of information. And we're also getting some export information from the previous 40 days and they were shut down. But, you know, a couple things, harvest is wound down. It's typical, you know, you start to see the markets recover after that. Again, the corn export's been really good. And money flow into the markets, you know, we haven't known what the funds have been doing. And certainly somebody's buying this market and making it go up. It's not farmers at this point. So when you look going forward, is it commercial buyers that know something? Have they got orders to buy some of these beans or wheat? Or is it just fund money or a combination of those two things that are making this market move higher after last Friday's report?
Yeah, I did wonder about the money flow because the metals are lower, crude's pretty quiet, but on the downside, and the stock market's down. And with the grains and oil seeds strong, does that typically suggest a favorable money flow into the ags?
Yeah, I think so. And when you look at, you know, the funds have exited the cattle market, which was a record high. And you know, when you look at the grain markets where we were, I mean, we were certainly at really low levels when you take inflation into account. So if you were a fund and you found a reason in which it's potentially China or harvest is wound down, that leads to your money's going to come somewhere. And at this point, like I say, either we're getting some commercial business we don't know about yet, or the funds have decided that these prices with some new fundamental news, they want to jump in there. And technically, the market looks really good. So overall, it's a good day and a big reversal from last Friday's down day.
Chuck Shelby, Market Insights. Chuck is at Risk Management Commodities. The phone number there, 866-837-9027. Now, settlements for Monday trade, 4.5 cents better on Dease corn. It ends at 434.75. March, 448, up 4. May, 455.5, a gain of 3.25. Very solid soybean futures. The bean complex as well with meal and oil strong. Jan beans 11.57 and a quarter, picking up 32.75. March 11.63 and a quarter, a gain of 27.25. And May up 23.5, going to 11.70. 17 cents higher on both the December and March wheat contracts. Dease wheat 544.25. March 558.5. And the meats higher. December live cattle 221.27, up 212. And December lean hogs 78.57. up 7 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.